In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I bet you're wondering whether or not I'm going to preach on the Song of Solomon text. Me being such a new bridegroom and all. Just hearing it gets me in touch with my inner gazelle and stag status.
They laughed a little hard at that, I thought.
I think you might enjoy what Fred Horton has to say in concluding his commentary on this passage. Although both Jews and Christians have read the Song of Songs in an allegorical or figurative way, there is no evidence that it deals with anything other than the joys, dangers, and disappointments of love. Just what an 80-year-old gazelle needs to hear. Well, thank you for that laughter. I need that myself, and I think we all do. Seems like these days I don't have enough to laugh about. Having said that, I must now ask you to join with me in exploring some territory that is neither fun nor funny, but is rather possibly contentious or uncomfortable. William Willimon, Methodist bishop, former dean of Duke Chapel, says that to be a preacher is to talk about matters that many people have difficulty discussing. I would add, and don't want to. He continues, throughout our history, Americans have shown that we wish our racism could be defeated by deciding not to talk about our racism. For me, quite frankly, just to stand up here and say that, feels a little bit like walking through a minefield. It is risky that I would sound judgmental, that I might somehow, because of my elevated status, be putting myself in a position of separating the sheep from the goats, which I would remind you is biblical, but that is not my intention. So in looking at today's text and trying to relate them to our current climate and events, I want you to know that two very distinct quotes came to me in a way that almost seemed as if they were gift, and I have to pay attention when that happens. The first comes from our hymnal, "God is working his purpose out," which I will say a number of times as God is working God's purpose out. The lyrics were written by an Anglican. His name was Arthur Anginger, 1841 to 1919. So there we have it. God is working God's purpose out. The second quote, "The past is never dead. It's not even past." William Faulkner. The past is never dead. It's not even past. God is working God's purpose out. The past is never dead. It's not even past. Within that framework that I wish to work with you this morning, I'll start with a second quote, that from William Faulkner. He said it because he was a Southerner and he knew the South. I think that statement of Faulkner resonates for me, perhaps for many of you as well, because we carry a particular kind of angst as Southerners. We are constantly confronted with our past because of race and our particular history involving racism and slavery that never seems to die, but keeps resurrecting itself in a myriad of ways. Year after year after year. Our past is never dead. It's not even past. There are many examples. One that stands out, that causes everybody to be uncomfortable, is the current conflict over Confederate memorials. We've had a lot of news about that in recent days, and of course lately from Chapel Hill, but from many other places as well. The conflict in Charlottesville was perhaps the most difficult in terms of violence and vitriol. If the past we thought was truly dead was dead in fact, we would not have any of those conflicts. Which is to say that the opinions on either side of this issue are connected to the history that created the memorials in the first place. It perhaps is a sign of significant change that those who might be bothered by the monuments seem more able to voice their complaint about them now than would ever have been possible when they were erected. While I would defend the peculiarity or particularity of Southern angst, I would also hasten to say to you this morning that the South has no monopoly on the history of racism or even slavery. Author and founder and president of Sojourners, Jim Wallace, most recent book is entitled America's Original Sin. It's about racism. And the point of the book is this has always been an American problem, not just a Southern problem. And as an aside, but also to help make that point, a few years back there was a documentary. It was made and promoted greatly within the Episcopal Church entitled Traces of the Trade, Stories from the Deep North. It's about one prominent family's involvement in the slave trade and the heirs of that family trying to process that heritage today, because it's about the wealth that was created and made them prominent, particularly in New England shipping, the role that it played in bringing Africans to America. The past is never dead. It isn't even past. With that in mind, how about God is working God's purpose out? I find it rather remarkable that during a time when the intention and existence of war between the state's memorials are being questioned and discussed, a new memorial has just opened in Montgomery, Alabama. The memorial is the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. This new memorial was featured in this past week's Episcopal News Service. The memorial tells of the story of more than 4,400 African-American men, women, and children who were lynched or murdered in other ways during the years from 1877 to 1950. Your reading of history will remind you that these are the seminal years of Jim Crow legislation, which is, of course, legal racism. Let's pause for a moment and look at today's gospel and epistle. In the gospel, Jesus challenges the religious leaders, whom he says are more concerned with religious practices than the desire for sincere devotion and worship of God. He's very hard on the leaders for their concern about defiled hands, hands that have not been properly washed. He answers their questions by teaching his followers that there is nothing outside of a person that going in can defile, but what can come out of the person from the human heart are what defiles. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, vile, evil intentions, theft, murder, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within. They defile a person. Jesus is not condemning outward acts of piety. He is rather saying it is not enough. It is not the whole picture. It's what's in your heart and how you act out your devotion to God in treating others with compassion. That is the truest test of faithfulness. It is therefore thoroughly fitting that the gospel is coupled with the reading from the Epistle of James. This passage puts in very plain language the essence of putting one's religious beliefs and worships into practical practice. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained by the world. He would rephrase that. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is to care for those who are the most vulnerable. In other words, it is no value that we claim to hear God's word but do not act on it. It is of no value that we get all the outward action of worship and liturgy done with perfection and do not live love and compassionate lives. For you see, dear friends, even in the hardest of times, with the most difficult of things to talk about or do anything about, you and I are called. We are called to be present for Jesus and to be part of his healing of our world. It has always been our call, and we're still called. We're called and set apart for this purpose in our time. We're called to make the past truly past. We're called to live out the faith we proclaim. And you might do that by remembering this quote from Ernest Hemingway, which I'm sure you heard over the weekend. Today is only one day in all the days that will ever be. But what will happen in all the other days that ever come can depend on what you do today. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers. Today we're talking about hard things, deadly things that seem unwilling to die. But we're talking, I'm talking, you may be feeling sad, feeling upset, feeling angry. It is not my intent to offend or scold, but rather to hold up for all of us to see things that are and have been for a long time systematically holding us back from being what is possible for us to be and what we all people want to be, children of God living in peace with one another. What then must we do? We must learn. We must confront the history we never learned. We must confront histories that we don't want to know about. Maybe the histories we've never even been exposed to. Now, the problem of preaching, of course, is it seems to be a one-way street. That's what it's intended to be, to proclaim. However, I want to say to you today that I am available to have conversation with anybody who wants to have one, anytime. Just call. But a few suggestions for us as a community. Perhaps we could read and study Jim Wallace's new book together. A reviewer says about the book, "Wallace calls us to transcend racial categories and to see in one another the image of God. He points out the structural realities of sinful racism and makes clear that to be redeemed, we must do more than deny it. Like Joshua reporting from the land of Canaan, Wallace finds unseen hopes and rich fruit if we will walk as well as we talk and cross the bridge to a new America." We could get together as a group, if you'd like, to watch Traces of the Trade and learn more about the complexities of race that run through the generations. And maybe you have in your generations past some things to uncover. I know, Lord God, that I do. Perhaps some would be interested in being in a discussion group involving racism. Any suggestions you might have that would help us become doers and not merely hearers of the word would certainly be welcome. But I want to remind you as I close this sermon this day that God is working God's purposes out. God's working his purposes out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And in a previous edition to this hymn, this stanza, what can we do to work God's work, to prosper and increase? The brotherhood of all mankind, the reign of the Prince of Peace. What can we do to hasten the time that shall surely be when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea? Amen.